Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Support for this podcast comes from Planned Parenthood. It's hard to imagine a world where we leave future generations with fewer rights and freedoms. Since the Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade, politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills aimed at blocking people from getting the essential sexual and reproductive care they need, including abortion. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves access to care. And with supporters like you, they can reclaim our rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future to learn more and support their cause.
What is up, people of the internet? Welcome back to another episode of the Waveform Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Marquez.
I'm Andrew.
And I'm David.
All three of us are here today to talk about Google's Pixel event. They've got a whole bunch of stuff that we kind of already saw coming, but now we get final confirmation of, and we get to talk about how we feel about it. Also, in case you can't see, I am wearing the new Waveform t-shirt, shop.mkbhd.com. This is, we've kind of had this in the works for a while. You've seen it back here, but now you can get it here in case you're interested. And David's also wearing the more tessellation pattern
version.
I
love this one.
Together, Marquez and I equal the background.
Exactly. We are this.
This is the updated logo. This is the kind of like our sound panel, awesome like tessellation, like you said. We also have a mug, by the way, which is, this is a two coffee kind of day.
Sneaky so popular.
That's where we're
I just moved into a new apartment, and you better bet all my mugs.
Our Waveform mugs.
Waveform mugs. Oh, yeah.
All three of them.
Hey, man.
So we're going to get to all that stuff in this episode. But first, I just wanted to point out that you're welcome. We can edit tweets now. Now, there's a couple asterisks to that. I'll break down what that exactly means. So it's been in the works for a while. We knew Twitter was going to have an edit tweet button. I don't know how many years I've asked for this. It's a very simple thing to do. Instagram has editing. Facebook has editing. We can edit on everything except Twitter, right? Okay. So it's rolling out to Twitter Blue subscribers first, which is, you know, you have to be, it's $3 a month or something like that, I think. And it's in beta and it's rolling out slowly to people who are subscribed. But basically, you can tweet. And then within 30 minutes of your tweet, if you found the typo or you tagged the wrong account or you want to add one more thing or punctuation, whatever, you want to edit the tweet, you can go in and edit it. And you can edit it multiple times in these 30 minutes, which is cool. So what happens is the engagement for that tweet will show in aggregate, but on the timeline, it will show that this is an edited tweet, and you can expand to view the history of the edits and which engagements happened with which version of the tweet. It's well executed, well thought out. I will continue to play with this, hopefully not on purpose, but I do make typos and I will be fixing them. Yeah. Thank you, Twitter.
I love it. It's funny, you've been asking for it so long that I feel like every time you give an example, you give it less and less of a like chance that you're like, well, we should just get 5 minutes, like one edit, five characters.
Let me edit five characters, yeah.
And they give you half an hour and unlimited edits. Like they went really lenient with it and I love it. I'm surprised it took that long if they're gonna be that okay with all of it, but yeah, kudos.
What's funny is like, this is such an old problem that it almost feels like one of those OG, like the lore of this product problems, kind of like how Half-Life 3 will never come out.
You mean like an Instagram tablet app?
Low blow.
No. yes.
Yeah. Real quick question. You said coming out to Twitter Blue users first. Does that mean to everybody eventually?
That's a good question. I don't know. So now I know that you can only edit tweets. You can't edit replies. You can't edit polls. You can't edit all sorts of things. But they do plan on expanding it to all those things eventually. So that's why it's in beta now, and they're going to continue to roll it out for all those things. I don't know if that means they're also going to allow everyone to edit eventually.
It's funny because I wondered you said polls. I was like, why couldn't you edit polls? Oh, because change someone option could, one and option two. Vote. Oh, yeah, yeah, and then you could change it. But okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yesterday, they also rolled out being able to do multiple media types at the same time. So you can tweet a video, photo, and GIF at the same time.
There's some great memes out there.
Yeah.
There's one of like the top two and left are Kirby sucking something up, and the bottom is like a GIF or a video of something like getting pulled away.
Every time there's a new feature, people will try to exploit it.
That's exactly art.
I love it.
Every new feature, somebody just pushes it to the extreme. Somebody replied that I should just start hiding secret messages in edits. So like my timeline looks normal, but you can see my tweets are edited. And then if you expand every edited tweet, you can find a new set of tweets of a completely different topic. We'll play with that.
There are some merch coupon codes in there.
Oh, interesting idea.
You should have Twitter notifications on, I guess.
I really like that idea, actually. Oh,
yeah. Call us on Twitter for that.
Noted. Well, we did have, at the time of this recording, the Google event today. We kind of knew everything already, but we got some final confirmations. We got some final looks in hand. We got the prices, and we got to know if there are new features or not. Pixel 7 and Pixel 7 Pro, Pixel Watch, and an extra look slash teaser at this tablet that looms on the horizon for 2023. Let's start with just the ecosystem of the rest of Google stuff.
Yeah, it felt like the whole event was like they right off the bat wanted to hammer an ecosystem, which I loved. It was obvious. I think it's obvious that when the watch comes out, they kind of complete their personal ecosystem with the buds and the phone, whereas their like home stuff is already kind of miles ahead of Apple. They also announced really quick two home things right before the event that they included in the event. Yeah. Nest Wi-Fi Pro and the new wired Nest doorbell.
Yes, which looks just like the wired one, but slightly smaller.
It looks just like the wireless one.
Yeah. Yeah, so I have the old wired doorbell, and I see that the new one. So it's weird. My house has like a side door that nobody uses, but that's technically the front door, so that's where the wiring in the house is. So I have a normal old wired doorbell there. But the part of the house that all the delivery people go to isn't a normal door. So I got the wireless battery doorbell, and that's where I stuck that one. So that's one everyone uses. I think I'm just going to have to get a matching one now for the front door. Mm. Anyway, it looks solid.
Can we real quick, you said you got to see the Nest Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Can you tell us what it looks like? Because online it looks like a Tic Tac.
Yeah, it looks
massive. Tic-tac.
Really bad.
Okay.
It's cool. It's big. And like the last Google Nest Wi-Fi, I thought was a really well-designed, really pretty product. It was this matte sort of like truncated sphere, and it had speaker holes in the top, and it could be used as a Google Assistant beacon. Mm-hmm. And I always used to say, like, I love that I can ask my Wi-Fi router what time it is and what the weather is when I wake up in the morning.
Super
that feels
convenient.
Weird, but awesome.
It's like it's like an extra benefit because you don't have to buy an extra speaker. Like in a room where you are often doing a lot of things, like maybe in your bedroom, you want a good Wi-Fi signal, so that's where you put the thing.
Yeah.
Now you got a speaker.
Yeah, and I asked them because there are a bunch of product managers at the event. So the new Nest Wi-Fi Pro, one, the colors are questionable. Google has definitely been doing this weird, like,
so pale,
pale pastel theme for the last couple of years now, but they're really leaning into it. And there's like a yellow speaker, which I don't know where you would put that, or not speaker, Wi-Fi router.
Yeah, it's white.
Yeah,
slightly off white.
Yeah, yellow
fog,
which is blue,
barely
blue,
and then yellow,
and yellow.
Is it snow, linen, and lemongrass?
Linen.
The other
I looked at
ones.
The linen one. I was like, oh, it's white. And then I looked next to it, and there was the actual white one. I was like, oh,
yeah,
okay, got it.
Yeah. So it sort of looks. It looks badly designed. I know that's really rough, but it's like it looks like you took. You know those Marquez pointed this out to me in the car. You know at Easter when you have those eggs that are filled with candy, and there's like it's like two pieces, and you break them open, but you can see the seam. Looks exactly like that, but really big. And they took the speaker out, which sucks.
Bad
and move. I asked them why, and they were like, we were looking at our user data. It just didn't really seem like people used it that much. And I was like, but that's, that was my
pro,
favorite part though. About
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Wow.
And now you have it in the cheaper one, but the only benefit is it has, well, not only benefit, but it has Wi-Fi 6E, which gives you 6 gigahertz. So if you're in the same room as it, you can get like gigabit over Wi-Fi, which is
great. Well, you can get 5.4. Like you could over 6, you could get 2 points, something, 1.2, I think. 1.2, yeah. And then so 6E, you can get 5.4. It's also nice getting tri-bands because then you can like hook different devices up on different things, yeah, getting the extra 6 on it.
Yeah.
Would you say though, so Google does their like pastel colors. If it, all of it was matte, do you think it would look better?
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. I don't know why they went glossy with them. It looks too much like Easter candy. Exactly.
I'm thinking that potentially the making it matte would have been, had to use a different material or a different paint that like a 6 gigahertz signal could not really pass through.
I wouldn't
easily.
Have even thought of something like
that. That's maybe. My only, because it looks like it's glossy and it almost looks plasticky.
Like
and
thin plastic.
Like thin plastic. Yeah. I think that's why.
Yeah.
But I would have to ask them.
Hopefully Dbrand figures something out.
Here's what I'll say. I have these like Orbi routers now that I showed in the home tech video that are even bigger and even uglier. And so I pre-ordered these. I was like, this is actually an improvement. I switched to them specifically for Wi-Fi 6 and to get better speeds. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we'll see.
The funny thing, one quick story about that real quick, is there was a guy that walked over and started talking to the product manager, and he was like, oh, so beautiful. And she was like, aren't they just gorgeous? And I was like,
nope,
sir.
What sir. Are we looking at?
Anyway.
Yeah.
So that was that.
It's a family of products now.
Yeah, yeah. And then the doorbell, actually the colors that the doorbell came in were
those nice. Look great. Mm-hmm. I like those a lot.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know why they ever did the wireless doorbell. Everyone I know that has one is like, I just wish it was wired.
Yeah.
So I'm glad they finally did. The new the wireless, one gives an old thing back.
The wireless is like only useful if you have that problem that I have, which is your front door is weirdly not wired for some reason.
Or if you're in like an apartment or something, like you could, I think it's great for apartments or house or like rental property. But like, I don't know, a lot of people buying these have a home and would rather just hardwire it and not charge it every 3 weeks.
Yeah, same.
So
3 weeks is just too frequent.
Yeah.
It's way too frequent. Yeah.
Make it a year and then I'll start.
Especially something that's like kind of based on your safety. Mm-hmm. Like you're having a security cam like to see things that happen at your house. And then after 3 weeks, if you forget, you're like, I'll do it tomorrow. And then you just
get robbed.
And then you get robbed or a package gets stolen or something and you've missed it all completely.
Yeah, so this is the part where you put a recurring task reminder in your task app every week.
Or they just put a wire on it and then it's
Problem solved.
Problem solved.
All right. We're doing watch first. Is that what's happening?
I think let's do watch first.
All right. We'll save the 7 and 7 Pro for after this. So Pixel Watch is a thing. We were waiting for it for a while. I think the number one question I get from people outside of the tech world about a Google Watch is like, are they going to make an Apple Watch, but for Android phones, basically? I wouldn't describe it that way. I would describe it like a Fitbit turned into a watch. Now, it still does a lot of both things. It does most of the Apple Watch stuff, right? It gives you your notifications, will let you use Google Assistant, reply to messages, voice text, all this normal smartwatch stuff. And then all of the fitness parts are Fitbit. They're all actually in the Fitbit app, actually. It talks to the Fitbit app on the phone. So heart rate tracking, fitness data, wellness, all these sorts of things, your sleep tracking and a sleep score when you wake up in the morning, all of that is happening through Fitbit. So the way it's described is like, who would want to buy this thing? It's a Fitbit user who wants a little bit more of a smartwatch for like the phone notifications, or someone who is considering getting a smartwatch, but really wants Fitbit stuff in it. So it's a really small, lightweight,
super
one
light.
Size, 24-hour battery life. That's the worrying part. They said up to 24-hour battery life.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that's
we'll see how that goes. It's a very small watch. Like, I wouldn't expect a good battery life out of it. I put it on my wrist next to the Ultra. Dwarfs it.
Yeah.
Dwarfs it. But that's the Google Pixel Watch.
You had a tweet earlier that I really liked. I think you said that they should have just renamed it Google Fitbit.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I don't like that I have to do a new app on my Pixel because I would rather just use Google Fit. Like, they should just change the Google Fit app into the Fitbit app.
Yeah.
It's going to connect all together anyways. I don't think it's bad that they're using Fitbit. It's clearly they have years and years of practice with this. They've been doing all the tracking and stuff. I think it's great that Fitbit users can come to the Pixel Watch and have all their everything they're used to, have all their information. And it's like a tried and true tracker already.
Yes.
I do like that. I do think there's some people who just don't have a smartwatch that might be excited to get this, knowing that Fitbit's been around for a while.
Yeah.
But the double app, it would make way more sense if the Google Fit app was just now the same.
Yeah. I talked to like all of the product managers at the event, and I talked to the Pixel Watch one too. And I said, okay, do you need the Fitbit app and the Google Fit app? And he's like, well, we're really recommending that people use the Fitbit app for this. And that's really what this is designed for. I'm like,
so strange.
Google
that's
Fit
weird.
Is just sort of thrown to the sideline. Yeah. He's like, well, you could use that, you know, if you wanted to use that. And I was just thinking like, okay. And I think there were reports a couple of weeks ago that Google is going to force you to switch over to a Google account instead of a Fitbit account. Like you're going to move your Fitbit account over to being a Google account.
Okay.
But you still use the Fitbit app, and I don't know. They need to truncate it. Like, yeah, if they just called it Google Fitbit, that's all they have to do because it's a recognizable Fitbit name. They just call it Google Fitbit, and they either use all the data and features from the Fitbit app and then make it in the Google style like Google Fit, or they just like, you know, use the Fitbit app and then just call it Google Fitbit and get rid of Google Fit.
If it's confusing to me, it's going to be confusing to lots of first-time smartwatch users.
Yeah, they said in the setup, it will prompt you to download Fitbit, but it does not prompt you to download Google Fit.
I bet there's going to be people who buy it are like, why is this isn't a Fitbit? Why is it telling me to download?
It basically is, though.
Yeah, but I think there are people who are going to be just like, oh, it's a Google Watch or it's the Pixel Watch. Why is it telling me?
Oh, yeah.
Why
I didn't buy a Fitbit
and not notice that there's like a connection there that Google owns it.
Yeah. The watch, though, it's small, but it's also way thinner than it looks like. In the renders, it's
I can't wait to see that.
It's not like, you know, super super flat, but it's pretty thin. But that also worries me about the battery life, right?
Yeah. It's elegant. It's really nice looking. Yeah. I like it. There's some bands.
Can I hear your thoughts on like, I'll say one thing that I thought looked really cool. I kind of think it has the same issue as what I thought the Pixel 6 did last year is all the video I'm seeing of it looks like a render and I'm having a hard time imagining it in real life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The coolest thing about it, I thought, was how the band attaches. Okay. I think that's actually really cool. I don't know if it sounds like you guys had some issues with it based on that, but the way they showed it seemed really neat.
Okay.
We might get
Apple, this is one of those things where I think we will, but so this is actually a pretty underrated thing. Like Apple's had the same way of attaching bands since the first watch, which doesn't sound like a huge deal, but that's because if you change the way it attaches, it's like changing a port. Like all of the previous bands that every accessory maker anyone ever bought doesn't work anymore. So it's really important to get the way the watch band connects to the watch right the first time so that's how you just keep it for as long as possible.
Yeah.
So they demoed this like elegant new way of like clicking out and rotating it to the side. I tried it, and granted I was trying it on camera, but I tried it many times and it is not easy.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have big fingers maybe, I don't know, but it's kind of like this awkward like push down and then rotate over the part that you just pushed. So I got it to work. But I don't know. I changed Apple Watch bands on the regular, just like real quick.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's just cause I got used to it real quick or if it's because this is a better way of doing it.
It's probably definitely a muscle memory thing because I don't change my Apple Watch band very often at all. And when I do, it's like, I kind of have to dig my finger in and kind of press it and then it slides off really fast.
So maybe it's just, I'll have to do it more often.
Yeah.
I change my watch band every day cause I sleep in one band and I wear a different band.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is like a normal rubber band, but I have like a softer like band or whatever. So once a day, I just...
Yeah, to be fair, I was there with the camera being like this, and Marquez was like trying to keep it in focus, like, because we had this narrow field of focus, so he was like trying to do it sort of at a weird angle. So
yeah,
we'll see over the next week or so how that...
You guys saying that made me think now, though, that like third-party watch bands for this are going to be a pain in the neck. Even if it works perfectly, thinking about how that works, that's far harder than like this small little just diameter that has to slide in, or like Samsung Garmin are generally pretty easy because it's just a pin that you press in and slide in there.
The advantage to this is there are no visible lugs. So you have these really elegant, like seamless looking bands that don't appear to connect to the watch. They just like, they look like they just come out of the watch.
Yeah.
They look really cool.
Yeah,
and I understand why they did it this way.
Mm-hmm.
we'll see how long it takes to get used to that.
Yeah. I think the bands look good. The quality of them did not feel nearly as good as the Apple Watch bands, but I feel like it's, I don't know, it's a Gen 1 thing.
No trail
like over time. They were really cool looking bands, like super cool looking bands, but they just felt like tough and they weren't stretching at all. And
the one that I tried, and this maybe is where we ended, but it was really stretchy and it was kind of like a trail loop. It didn't have a Velcro part, but it was like a solo loop. Okay. And it was like a... like a felt.
It was like a white fabric.
Yeah, white fabric, but it was stretchy.
Yeah.
And that, it was comfortable. I
was
sleep
super
in
comfortable,
that.
But I was just worried that like it was white fabric. And I feel like if you sweat at all in that, it's just going to turn yellow.
The trail loop we have.
I'll sleep in that one, I think. Yeah. That'll be my sleep tracking band.
Your pillow band.
Exactly.
Really quick question about the bezel on the Pixel Watch, because it's kind of the thing that we all saw was there, but it was hard to see. And then they're really showing it this time and it looks kind of brutal. Is it as bad in person?
You know how if you were a product designer and you're making a phone with a huge notch, then you would design wallpapers around hiding that
Samsung
notch?
Samsung and Apple did that.
That's this watch.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny because it the bezel is definitely big, but everything about the UI has a gradient into darkness. So even the flashlight app on the watch, there's a flashlight app, obviously it's not that bright. It's like way dimmer than the Apple Watch.
Okay.
But it's bright in the center. And then as you get near the bezels, it like tapers off into just turning the pixels off.
Yeah.
To make it, their whole idea is like, we never want you to be able to see a UI element touching the bezel, because if you can't see it, then the bezel, unless you're in direct sunlight, just kind of looks like part of the screen. It's definitely a thicker bezel, but the way that they designed the UI theoretically makes it look not huge. The thing is, it's already a small watch.
They did one example that shows that not working, which was the viewfinder for when you're taking a picture. Oh my God, that was the worst example I've ever seen.
The square, like, again. Oh my God.
They did so much work hiding the bezel and every other thing, and then you got to see it there.
Also, can I just say, when the Moto 360 came out in 2013, thin bezel. Yes, it had the flat tire, but whatever, it wasn't that bad. It looked nicer, in my opinion, than this watch. And I remember, like, one of the first third-party apps that came out was a remote camera shutter, and I remember using that all the time. And it filled the entire thing. It wasn't like, here's the entire image in a square format. It filled the whole screen of
cropped
it. I don't know. It feels like they forgot everything that happened in the last 9 years. So, I don't know. I feel like we need to use it and then see how it is.
Yeah, for sure.
In a dimly lit environment, the OLED is black and does a good job of fading into the black bezel.
Yeah.
But we shall see.
In most scenarios, yes. But we'll see.
$349 for that watch. Oof. It'll be $399 with cellular. We'll try it. We'll review it. Stay tuned. We got to take a break, so we'll do a quick trivia question. But when we come back, we got to talk about the phones, of course.
All right. Trivia. So the score is David has 4, Andrew has 8, and Marquez has 7. So because at the Apple event, we did Apple-themed questions. This one, we're doing Google-themed questions.
Oh, I'm going to slay.
Remember those Apple-themed questions, Andrew?
No.
Not really.
Oh, yeah.
I do. So should I just give you the answers first? Or
answers first.
Yeah, of course.
All right. Which of the following was not the name of a color for a Google product? Oh, Pixel product, yeah.
Okay.
Sort of sunny. Clearly white, not pink, or not really black.
I know this. Come on.
Yeah. Maybe that's just because I pay too much attention to the puns that people make about the colors.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. We'll be right back.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level.
And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Support for this podcast comes from Planned Parenthood. Your body is your own. That's why Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Today, lawmakers who oppose abortion are challenging Planned Parenthood. Affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. Planned Parenthood believes that health care is a basic human right. That's why they fight every day to push for common-sense policies that protect our right to control our own bodies. They also work tirelessly to oppose the onslaught of new policies aimed at interfering with personal decisions best left to patients and their doctors. They won't give up, and they won't back down. You can join Planned Parenthood in the fight to help make sure that the next generation can decide their own futures. The organization needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, they can reclaim our rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future to learn more and support their cause.
All right, we're back. Let's talk about the phones. Pixel 7 and Pixel 7 Pro are officially official. Now we've seen these phones in renders and various teasers from Google over and over and over and over and over and over again for the past couple weeks.
Since May.
Yeah, we finally have prices and we finally have specs and features. So there's the 6.3-inch flat 1080p 90 hertz yeah. Pixel 7. It has a 4355 milliamp hour battery and 8 gigs of RAM. And it has a regular camera and an ultra wide on the back. And then a new a selfie camera. It gets up to 1400 nits, which is really impressive.
The screen on the Pixel 7 looks substantially better than the 6.
Does it?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Yeah.
And it looks good.
Then you have the Pixel 7 Pro, which adds a telephoto, which is a new 5X telephoto camera. It has a larger, I believe, 5000 milliamp hour battery. It has a slightly curved over the edges 1440p 120 hertz LTPO OLED. It's curved slightly less than the 6 Pro.
Okay. Yeah.
Happy to note that. I was curious if that would be true or not. They didn't even say it in the keynote, but it is curved less over the
edges. It's just like S20 to S21. Remember how Ultra?
Yeah,
The S20 Ultra was way too curved, and then 21, it was like perfect.
Yeah.
They went back. They went over it and then they went back.
If you're comparing to S21 Ultra, this all...
Well...
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
We'll get there.
Baby steps.
Yeah. But, you know, there's two new phones. Also, the big one has 4 extra gigs of RAM. It's the new Tensor G2 chip. I mean, these phones really aren't about specs. It's more... And I'll talk about this in the impressions video when we get to making that later today, but it's more about like the features and being helpful and being like a really smart smartphone. So I almost like didn't care what the specs were. Like they're the same internals with a little more RAM on the bigger one. But I don't know. First impressions, like the design is, it still looks like a Pixel, but instead of glass visor, it's metal visor this time.
Yeah.
I don't know yet if I prefer that or not. I kind of think
that's
I prefer the glass.
I feel.
Really?
I don't know. I like the metal. I don't like the cutouts of it. So I'm like, I'm 50-50 on it.
I think once you see the phones, you will be happy.
Okay.
In my opinion.
I think I'm leaning towards wood.
What's nice is that last year we were like, this feels like a bunch of different random parts like glued together, because even the camera visor.
I'm taking the skin off.
Yeah, take the skin off.
I'm going to show you this.
The camera visor is a separate part to the side rails.
Yes.
In this
one,
it's all one solid piece.
That's the biggest
difference.
And
it just makes it feel higher quality. I still hate that they're glossy phones, because I think matte would have been amazing.
Oh, man, I miss Pixel matte. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Pixel 4 matte. With like matte edges.
Yeah, cool. And 3.
That seam right there.
Yeah.
It's unibody on the metal.
Yes. Nice. And like it just, the metal just feels really good.
Of course.
And the cutouts in the camera don't look that bad.
It's not that bad.
I think you'll like it.
So the more interesting parts is the features. which is we were looking forward to, like, okay, what are they going to do with this phone that they couldn't do with the Pixel 6? So Tensor G2, they basically take advantage of the fact that they know they can do a bunch of this this computational photography, speech to text. If you're sending a voice note in Google Messages, it'll transcribe it so you can see the text in before you play the voice note, which is interesting. I really think the most interesting stuff is all in the cameras.
Wait, before we get to that, can I tell you my favorite thing and like what makes me want a Pixel 7? Uh-huh. Face Unlock is back.
Oh yeah,
Face Unlock is back. So happy about that. I miss it so much. I hate my fingerprint sensor on my Pixel 6, and I want Face Unlock back. And I think they said it's a G2 thing, right?
Yeah. So, okay. And was it only on the Pro? Or was
no,
it
no, it's on both. Trust me, was the first thing I looked at for all.
They said it's using machine learning, which means there's no special like hardware for it.
Don't care.
Which means they're using a 2D image and using ML.
Don't care. Okay. I just want it.
Okay, I'm just saying.
I appreciate it.
Remember how people were using the fingerprint reader and it was unlocking each other's phones?
Yeah.
Like 2 weeks ago? I'm just like wondering if people are going to be able to unlock each other's
phones. We'll see. It's not going to be as secure as some of the better ones out there.
Yeah.
But I just want it so bad.
They also said the fingerprint sensor was new and better.
Okay.
I will be testing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to be on.
Mine's mostly for chalked up hands when I'm climbing. Like if it's new and better, it's not going to get it anyways. Fair. And I just want face unlock back really bad. Yeah. So I'm very, very excited. Okay.
Yeah. Well, that is one camera feature.
Okay.
Uses the camera.
Okay. You're right. That is a camera feature.
But around the back, we do get it's the same primary camera. It is
great camera.
Slightly updated ultra wide with autofocus now, so it can take better macro shots.
Only on the Pro.
Only on the Pro.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Pixel 7 uses the same ultra wide as before. Mm-hmm. And the Pro also has a new telephoto. It's a 5X telephoto. And what they're doing is a little more of that is, okay, rewind. My favorite moment of the keynote was at the beginning, they took this little opportunity to go, oh, you know, we really like when our competitors are inspired by our features.
Pixel has always been a leader in smartphone innovation. And we take it as a compliment when others in the industry follow our lead. Like the always on display and at a glance introduced with Pixel 2.
And adopt them because they're really good. You know how like we had an always on display back with the Pixel 2, and you know how like we had crash detection 3 years ago, and the crowd was kind of like, "Oh, y'all so clever, Google. Well played."
I liked it.
9 minutes later, they were like introducing cinematic mode and face unlock and all these things you've never seen before.
Yeah.
And so the one interesting thing that the iPhone just did that I think is smart is they take a crop of the middle 12 megapixels of the camera for basically an optical level of zoom. They do that on the primary camera, so it goes from 50 to 12 and a half megapixels. And then the telephoto is also a high resolution, so they can do the same thing. So they'll go 5X and then crop in there 10X is another optical zoom. And then they have these like haptic stops in the zoom in the software, so you can feel when you get to 2X, 5X, 10X, and those are like good levels of zoom to try to use more
often. It goes up to 30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. Super res zoom for all the little weird stops in between. I'm excited to test, you know, using the cameras, how well they handle zooming. But that's like more interesting on the specs is like what features they would add. And seems like they're doing a lot of camera stuff.
Yeah. Something that's really interesting to me about the zoom is that they admitted on stage, because when you take the center pixels and then you use that as a crop to get an optical zoom, you're using smaller pixels because you were previously turning those pixels into bigger super pixels and now you're using smaller pixels, which means you're going to have a noisier image. And they admitted that on stage. They're like, oh, but you know, so we're doing that, but then you have smaller pixels. So what we're doing, and then they talked about this whole pipeline change where they're remosaicing the Bayer array to like make it better. I need to talk to them more about what exactly they're doing, but they like seem to be aware of it, whereas Apple didn't even acknowledge that. So.
I think it's pretty classic Google using software to overcome hardware problems.
Yeah.
Yeah. Always. I remember the Pixel 3 briefing we went to. They were telling us about all these things for zooming. I think I'm at the point where until I see a zoom photo that I'm like, that looks great.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to believe any of this. I have such a hard time being excited for a zoom in a smartphone at this point.
The phones at the event were preloaded with like a bunch of pictures that were taken on like Pixel 7 Pro. And I will say that like, at least, you know, the photos that they showed
exactly.
us.
Yeah.
every Zoom level looked pretty great until you got to 30x and then looked terrible.
Okay.
It was kind of like watercolor at that point.
Yeah, it was kind of like the Samsung like 100x Zoom when they first announced it and everyone was doing the comparison photos and like, yeah, you can do 100, but what is that? What am I looking at?
Oh, that's the Eiffel State Tower building. From yes. 1,000 miles away.
Yeah.
I feel like I always say, if I'm using the Zoom, it's to like, I'm taking that picture to prove I saw something, not to post as a nice picture. The minute I zoom in on my smartphone, I've given up on quality completely, and it's a proof.
I would 100%. Say 5X maybe you could use for like a portrait shot, but beyond that, it's like...
Okay,
that's interesting. Yeah, 5X would just be the telephoto.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the coolest feature is something that might not end up staying as a Pixel 7 exclusive, and that is the unblur feature. Okay, so they showed on stage, basically, you have a Pixel 7 or 7 Pro, either one, it has the Tensor G2 chip, and you can take a photo in your Google Photos library, whether or not it was taken on the phone, and if it has a slightly blurry face, or a slightly blurry, maybe it was shaking a little bit, not even just faces, just whatever.
Yeah, they said it'll detect blur or it'll detect things that are slightly out of focus.
Yeah, and it will go, this seems like you'd want to unblur it, and it'll surface the unblur button, which is always available. You hit the unblur button, and it uses AI and sharpening and ML and blah, 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 neural, blah, blah, blah. Google does its magic and creates a sharper, fixed photo, basically. It's very impressive based on the 3 or 4 demos that I saw in person. Yeah. I've got to try this now. Like, I have lots of blurry photos in my Google Photos library. I say that it might not stay exclusive because remember Magic Eraser and lots of other features, but like that started as a Pixel 6 exclusive and now that's just a thing you can do now.
Yeah.
So unblur seems cool.
Yeah.
Probably don't need a Pixel for it.
You know what's hilarious is that because they added the thing in the Pixel 6 where it'll use the ultra wide camera to also take an image and then strap it in, it's like they have so many ways to like avoid blur now that at point of capture they're avoiding blur and now they're also getting rid of the blur after point of capture.
Yeah.
So it's just like no photos will ever be blurry ever again.
Oh, our parents will figure out how to mess that up.
But I do like that you can do it on any image. So I have like a lot of film photos that I've taken that are slightly out of focus.
Yeah.
And theoretically it could fix that. It's not really the same photo anymore, but
it's. I think that's cool. It's pretty cool that you can bring in other things that you haven't even taken on the phone, let alone even maybe like a smartphone. That I'll be interested to see how well it does, but I don't know. They do pretty good on that. I hope it does well, and this isn't just the chain link fence example.
Well, at least I got to see it in action.
You kind of saw it already.
I got to see it actually work. Is it called remastering when you like you know those photos? Someone will take like an old like sepia photo and they'll like restore it, whatever, something like that.
Colorized.
Yeah, colorize and they'll like take an old photo and like make you can like see into the past more sharply. Mm-hmm. It kind of feels like that sort of magic. Like Google's just making that possible on a phone.
Which they also have colorize in Google Photos now.
So they basically will just turn old garbage photos into great photos.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah. Grandma, I'm coming for you. It's going to be your birthday present.
You're going to have all these high school yearbook photos from the 60s looking like 4K photos.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. But to your point on how long it's going to stay a Pixel exclusive.
We should make a bet.
We should make a bet. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that the servers that Google runs all of its Google Photos stuff on, like run Tensor processors too, or Tensor processing units. So... I mean, I could see 3 to 5 months this just coming to everybody. It right now, it feels like it's definitely like a marketing thing that it's like, please buy our Pixel because we have this exclusive feature. But Google pretty much always rolls out the exclusive Pixel features into all devices through Google Photos.
I think this kind of loops into the benchmarks video that we did this week, which is there are pieces of silicon of the system on a chip that are designed for certain tasks to accelerate them and make them really good. Google's for a while now, they've had cool things for like speech to text. Like you just ramble at your phone and it's immediately transcribing everything you say. There's a new recorder app. Well, it's the same recorder app, but there's an update to it that's coming later. It's not at launch, but it has speaker labels. Mm-hmm. They blew my mind with it because when they were giving me the walkthrough, they were talking about certain things, and I was replying, and they were talking. And then the guy took his phone out of his pocket and showed me that the whole time it was recording and had speaker labels, and they were accurate.
That's a great demo.
I was like, that is great that on-device
in
processing.
In his pocket?
In his pocket.
Damn.
So that's when like I see, is this your card moment?
Like, you've been writing all that down? So when I see this this unblur feature, I imagine it probably works best on-device because Tensor G2 has the horsepower in that special part of the silicon. Yeah. For that function, great. It'll probably just be slower and slightly worse on other phones that aren't the new Pixel 7. Yeah. Fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have one more thing. Yeah. I really, really liked they showed, like, Google always talks about inclusivity and accessibility a lot. They've talked about skin tones a lot in terms of their camera stuff. But I really, really liked the section where they have a new feature for the selfie camera, where if you're visually impaired, it can voice talk to you about how to like maybe set up your shot a little better so that people who are visually impaired can take selfies without needing somebody else to help them at all.
Yeah.
I just thought that was like such a good idea, and I'm so surprised we haven't seen it before.
One face. Move your phone slightly left and down. Move your phone slightly right and up. Ready for selfie. 3, 2, 1. Photo taken. One face.
Oh my
one
God,
face.
I love one this.
Selfie. Move your phone right and up. Ready for selfie.
Wait, I want to get one my face. Light.
Photo taken.
This is so cool.
It's a great idea. I saw a demo of it. Shout out to Molly Burke, fellow YouTuber, in the demo for that.
Also, the selfie camera is really wide. Did you notice that?
I saw the
ultra wide
number.
Is wider, and the new selfie camera is also wider.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, the selfie camera, because it's 11 megapixels now, I believe. Yep. So I think when it's, so by default, you open the selfie app and it's cropped in to like probably 8 or something.
Yeah.
But you can zoom out.
Okay.
And it's really, it's like Pixel 3 XL wide.
92.8 degree field of view.
I think that's about what Pixel 2,
I
sorry, Pixel
the
3 XL.
Oh, yeah. It was so good.
It was so good. Yeah.
11 megapixels is so unfortunate because it's right
below 4K.
Underneath 4K,
yeah,
which
like
is 12 megapixels.
3 or something.
So close.
So it's 10.8, apparently.
Oh,
basically
really?
11, I just want to, before someone gets mad at this point, too. Still. I want to just...
So it won't do 4K video.
I just
fine.
Love that it's super, super wide again.
Agreed.
Like, I've been waiting for that forever, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same prices.
Oh,
same
yeah.
prices as last year. And that's not... Okay. I gave the Pixel 6 my value phone of the year. I think $599 for the base phone is great.
Totally.
I still don't know how you justify spending $300 more on the Pro, because we were thinking about that last year, where it's like, what are you really getting for $300 more? Telephoto, 120 hertz, yeah. Bigger battery.
That's it.
That's mostly what you're getting. Is that $300 more phone? It's the same thing this year. It's LTPO, telephoto, bigger battery, same 4 more gigs of RAM. Like, that's it. And I'm not sure if they just liked the way the last year's phones sold, so they didn't want to change anything. I'm not sure if it's, look, we need to look like a premium phone, so we need to charge premium phone money because that's what it has to look like on a shelf. A combination of things. But that's the new, it's the same price as last year.
I do think, I think in their mind, and something they said in the event was, they're comparing the top phone to other flagships, which is, this is cheaper than other flagships.
It is.
So therefore, the $899 price isn't the worst, but it makes it feel worse yeah. when your other phone is really good and
exactly.
so cheap. So they're almost like biting themselves by doing that
yeah.
because like that's a great price phone. This isn't a bad price phone if you want to actually compare it to other flagships. It's a great price. Are they screwing themselves over? I'm not going to complain. I love the $600 price tag.
Here's how I'll phrase it. If the 7 doesn't exist, the Pixel 7 Pro looks like a good deal. Because you're like, wow, you're
exactly.
undercutting
exactly.
all the $900, the $1,000 phones out there that it's being compared to.
Am I having deja vu right now?
yeah, but the second you really put them both in the lineup, then you're like, oh, yeah, no, it's $300 cheaper to get almost the same phone.
Yeah, I think the only thing that they kind of leaned into more to try to separate the phones this year is that because it's 5X Zoom. And then all of the magic they're doing that allows you to zoom in to like 20X and have it still look good. Like on the Pixel 7, you can't do any of that.
I agree. But
I know. $300. I know. $300.
I would save $300 and not be able to zoom.
And then the wider ultrawide, it's 21% wider on the Pixel 7 Pro, and it has the autofocus pixels, which allows you to do macro mode.
Macro
not
shots.
That anyone really cares about macro mode.
No, I do. That is a good point. Actually, splitting the ultrawide up a little more does add like one more step to it.
And the zoom stuff, like 5x zoom versus 3x, and then allowing you to do like 20x and still look good, I think is more. But when I held them both personally, and I think I might even have said this last year, I think the Pixel 7 feels higher quality than the 7 Pro just because of the form factor and how big it is.
But the flat screen, actually.
The flat screen, I think, makes it feel better.
Good. Yeah, it's thin bezels and flat screen. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's a good material. It's not like the OnePlus 9 regular, which felt like absolute trash because the back was like really bad quality.
Yeah.
It feels like a good, like for $599, the 7 feels very premium. I will say that.
We're complaining about it here, but this is honestly a good problem for Pixel to have or Google to have, because the people who are making this comparison between them are still debating between two Google phones. So
true.
It's a pretty good problem to have.
Yeah. Same price as last year. I'm going to start testing them. Yeah. We'll figure it out. We'll see if they're worth it. We'll see if the differences are deeper than we're realizing now. But that's the Pixel 7 and Pixel 7 Pro. They did also give us a preview of a mysterious tablet that looms on the horizon. We'll talk about that after one more break.
Right.
But that does mean it's time for one more trivia question.
All right, back to the Google theme this week. What was Google originally going to be called?
The company.
Well, the search engine.
The search engine.
We had an easier question, but I got lit up for the first one being too easy.
No!
So
I didn't say like anything. Can I have the old question?
Yeah, I feel like I read about this last week and promptly forgot.
Me too. Time for a break.
Time for a break.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Support for Waveform comes from 1Password. So it's hard to come up with a totally unique password every time you need one, but it's what you got to do to stay secure. Luckily, a password manager makes creating and tracking your passwords completely painless. So 1Password combines industry-leading security with award-winning design to bring its users private, secure, and user-friendly password management. And it does that by generating as many strong, unique passwords as you need, and then securely storing them in an encrypted vault that only you have access to. With 1Password, you just need to remember one strong account password, and it'll protect everything else from your logins, your credit cards, notes, office Wi-Fi, etc. You no longer need to keep a bunch of sticky notes all over your desk or reuse the same password over and over again. I've tried out 1Password. As you know, I switch between devices and phones constantly, and so using 1Password to just fill out things quickly and log into a whole bunch of stuff makes switching between devices a lot easier, so I'm all good to go once I sign in. So right now, our listeners can get a free 2-week trial at 1Password.com/waveform. That's the number 1Password.com/waveform for 2 free weeks. So 1Password.com/waveform.
Welcome back. We're going to talk about Pixel tablet next, which is kind of something I don't think anyone expected to hear much more about, right? Because it's a next year product.
Well, this is the weird Google thing they're doing, is they're just teasing everything they're going to do soon.
A year in advance.
So that when it leaks, they're like, well, we showed everybody already.
What is a leak if we just give it to you?
I mean, I wasn't expecting it. So I almost felt like all the leaks of the Pixel 7 and stuff, even though we knew about the tablet, we weren't expecting to learn more. Mm. We did. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to say, when we were sitting and watching this, they opened up the whole event and they're talking about design, where they kind of showed off everything, right? And they showed the tablet, but it was kind of on like a, it was on an end table on the couch. And I was like, is that a Nest Hub or a tablet? I think it is. And Hayato said, oh, it's just a Nest Hub. It's supposed to look exactly like it. And I went, wouldn't it be sick if it had a docking station that turned it into a Nest Hub? Is this, you're freaking out. I feel like we had the same thought.
Yeah, it's just the most brilliant thing ever.
It's so simple. It's awesome.
It's awesome.
I love it so much.
Okay, you know what's even more telling?
What?
Is that I walked over to like the area where they had all the products and stuff. And there was a Google product specialist. And I was like, is this the tablet? And she was like,
oh no, yeah. I had that moment. I had that moment where I walked up to him and the person in front of me just picked it up and tried to take it off. And I was like, oh no, that's just the Nest Hub.
No, it's so for the listeners, like the base looks exactly like the base of the Nest Hub. It's sort of like that fabric. And then you just like, it's got these pogo pin contacts and it's magnetic and you slap it against the thing. And for me, this makes so much sense because I love the Nest Hub already. Mm-hmm. So for me, I'm not even buying a Pixel tablet. I'm buying a Nest Hub that detaches so that I can just randomly use it as a tablet in the few circumstances that I want to.
I couldn't be more on the same page. I just like the minute I saw it, I was like, this is a Nest Hub that I will love. I can detach it for when I'm hosting. If I want to like walk around my house and like play different music, or if I go to my backyard and I'm controlling music or controlling lights, or like maybe seeing if someone's at the door, I have it with me. And then the very few times I would want a tablet is like downloading movies for the plane or something like that, where I don't need to buy a crazy tablet. I can just pop it off my Nest Hub and take it with on the trip with me.
It's so smart.
It does make a lot of sense. I want to know what their solution is for needing two different UIs. I guess maybe when you pop it in the pins, it goes, oh, I am a hub now.
Probably.
And does all the hub stuff, where like if the doorbell rings, it takes over the whole screen. Where if it's a tablet and the doorbell rings, it's just a notification.
Right.
So they probably have this sort of a switching mode where you know when your tablet, when it's on the pins. Cool. Also, this is just picky of me, but I only use, most of the time I use my tablet at home, it's on a stand, like in a folio case, on the kitchen table or something. So if I want to do that with this one, I need to pop it off of the stand and then put it in the folio case. And then when I put it back, I take it out of the folio case and put it back on the stand. That's fine. I can deal with that. I think it's a good idea.
I think it's a good idea. The scenario you say you usually use a tablet at home, I don't think this is for you. That's my take from it. I want this because I'm not a tablet person.
Yeah.
And there are a few situations like media consumption where I would want it. And I am like, that's what this is for. This is mostly for me going to be home automation and a Nest Hub. And then I get the benefit of a tablet that I don't need to be super intense every once in a while when I need it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not a tablet person whatsoever. I've never found use for them. But like, I love the Nest Hub. So just being able to use it as a tablet if I need to in these rare circumstances just makes so much sense. And I think, just for the record, I'm pretty sure Lenovo made this exact product like 5 years ago.
Screw them.
Yeah, I know. I know. Just around the time of the like original Google Home.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that they made like an Android tablet that mounted and became a smart display. But because it wasn't like supported by Google in the way that this is, where it like acts and looks like an S Hub. My biggest question now is how good are the speakers going to be? Because the...
In the base?
I don't know if the base is a speaker.
It is.
It is?
I would assume
It's a magnetic speaker dock.
In that case, everything's amazing. Let's go party, baby. Let's
Sounds
go.
Like the speakers in the tablet don't have to be that great because they can just be normal tablet speakers, and then they pop it on to the speaker dock, and then it's got everything you need to
this
be
This is the greatest Google product ever.
It might
I'm
be.
So excited.
I will be interested. I will be interested. A couple things. Price, obviously. What is this price going to be? Specs on it. I'm kind of, are you assuming this is going to be
they
a
said
like
said it's running
cheaper?
Tensor.
Okay. I guess I don't even know what that necessarily means.
It's good.
Is this going to be a competitor to like a top of the line iPad? I don't think it should be. Yeah. I don't care about that.
I wouldn't say.
I think that's important. What you just said, like people who like the 80% of tablet users who are just like, I think what was the stat on stage? Like 80% of tablets are homebodies.
Yeah,
never leave the house. They're on the living room couch most of the time. It's the kids watching videos. It's Netflix on the plane. Casual stuff. That person, this is great for them. And that person doesn't need an A15 Bionic or whatever. Like the iPad Pro and all those expensive tablets that have these crazy super high-end features are for the fringe of people who are like, maybe this can be my only computer. Like that type of level tablet user, great. Nobody's cross-shopping those. I think this can be a $600 tablet.
I'm hoping
$600.
Less.
Yeah, $600. You turn it into your Nest Hub. You don't have to spend $200 on a Nest Hub now.
How much is a Nest Hub Max?
It's a Max?
Yeah. I'm assuming screen size is probably pretty more similar to the Max.
230.
You guys didn't even get to see it, right?
No, it wasn't there.
No. Okay. No. Well, I thought I saw it.
Yeah, you thought it.
Yeah.
But so even the product manager didn't know if it was just like, I don't really know.
Because I'm going to guess it's closer to the Nest Hub Max size for the screen, right?
Yeah, 10 inch.
So how much is a Nest Hub Max?
230.
230. Nest Hub Max came out in 2019, by the way. I remember going to the I.O. for that. That was 3 years ago.
I still use mine every day.
They're awesome.
Yeah.
They're great.
I love this product. Do you think $600? So much.
How much
cheered.
What do you think the price should be for this tablet?
Do you want like a super optimistic or like how it's so much going to depend on what the specs are on the thing. It's got huge bezels, so I'm just automatically going to guess the cheaper end.
Right.
I want to say 500 to 600.
I think using context like you are, big bezels, Tensor chip, fine. Like doesn't need a ton of RAM or high-end specs. And iPad Air is what, 500? This can be at or under iPad Air.
I think it will be under.
I think it'll be 450 to 500. That's my guess.
I'm going to guess 399.
Whoa.
Okay. So one thing that is interesting is when you scale up production of chips, which they get to do now, think about this. Tensor was only used in pixels before. Mm-hmm. How many pixels did they sell? More than any other pixel, but not that many in retrospect. Mm-hmm. If they're able to use Tensor G2 in another product that they're going to be shipping a lot of, the overall unit price of Tensor G2 will go down. If that's the case, they might even be able to make this cheaper. That's why iPhone. Wow.
iPod phone.
It's been a long day. That's why the iPhone SE is able to run the flagship chip because they make just an absolute crap load of A15s and they can just put it in everything, you know?
Yeah. So you're on $399 somewhere in there?
I think either $349 or $399.
Whoa.
$349 would be great.
I'm like a little skeptical of how cheap it will be just because the last cheap Google tablet was horrific and I don't think they want to make sure
it's Intel processor.
Yeah, that was pretty. So like I'm more getting excited the more you two talk about this. I thought it was going to be kind of expensive. I'm worried it's going to be too much of like trying to compete with the top tablets and then it's going to be this like, if it's like $1,000 thing, it's going to be a total flop. No. I want it to be cheap. I want it to be like just a decent tablet that's like we've said.
I feel like this is only going to be for adults because like if you give your kid a tablet, right, you can give them like a cheap Kindle Fire and they're just going to be using it as only a tablet all the time. And they never, like a kid is not going to walk up to the counter and mount the smart display.
I would never do that.
I would not give my kid the option to do that. Right. Yeah. So if that's the case, then like, I feel like it's mostly going to be a media consumption device. So it could probably get away with like 3 gigs of RAM. You could make it cheaper. Honestly, I feel like.
Yeah, $399 would be a dream. I would be so happy if it was $399.
I think it will be.
Oh,
or $349, one of the two.
I'm going to stick with my like $500 prediction.
Okay.
But yeah, I do agree. They're not going to compete with the high-end tablets of like, do you want a super high-end, low-latency stylus? Do you want like three cameras for some reason? Like it only has one camera. You might not ever use it. Like it's
a Nest Hub Max that happens to detach.
Yeah, that's exactly what you should think about it.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how people compare them too, because I do think that it's almost not a tablet. Maybe they're shooting themselves in the foot by calling it a tablet, but like Yeah, it's a Nest Home Max that has a tablet function. And yeah, that's what I'm looking for.
Do you guys think it's going to replace the Nest Hub Max? Like, they'll stop selling the Nest Hub Max?
Interesting. Then it would have to be cheaper. I don't think so.
No, no.
Because the Nest Hub Max is only $230. So if it's replacing the Nest Hub Max, then you're going to go up to $350. That's a tougher ask to get that into people's homes.
I think it could, because there's still the regular Nest Hub.
There is the small size
one. The small one. I could see it just being the new big version, and there's still the small version if you want a cheaper non-tablet version. That's a huge delta, but, you know, Google likes to do that, apparently. I mean,
you know what they should make? The Nest Hub Mini, but it detaches. So you get a tablet that's this big.
5-inch tablet.
Smaller than the Pixel 6, 7 Pro.
Yeah. Yeah,
Google, they keep introducing it as a tablet. They keep saying Google tablet.
Yeah, that's what's worrying me.
I think it's going to live as a tablet, and you can buy this dock separately if you want to do this thing. I think that's what's going to happen.
Oh, wait, hold on.
Really?
Yeah.
When we're talking about prices, are we including the dock?
I thought it was all coming together.
I thought it was coming together.
I might have to rewatch the keynote and see if they said optional or not. But it's, I every time I hear them talk about it, it's this the nice finish. So when you hold it, it's like this, and the speakers and the screen and the camera, it's a tablet first. But if you want to, we have this sick extra thing you can do, is mounted on a magnetic speaker dock, and then it becomes your Nest Hub Max.
They're probably not going to show on the website, but
no, I'll rewatch the keynote. But that's how I got it. That's how I perceived it.
Okay, so you think $500 with no dock? I was thinking $399 with the dock. But I think you and I are just so excited about it. We have it in our head that it's like a Nest Hub. But you make a really good point, and now I'm scared.
Should I watch it real quick? I'm going to watch this section of the keynote just to find it real quick.
I'm pretty sure they just said, and it can mount on. Like, I think they're very vague about it.
Definitely. Okay, hold on.
It reimagines how a tablet can actually be helpful all the time in your home by pairing it with a new charging speaker dock. Ta-da!
By pairing it with...
Yeah, they're separate products.
I think I could also hear pair it with by saying, like, we're pairing it with, as in, like, this package has it. I don't know.
It will live as a tablet. I don't think you're going to try to...
it in your home.
I don't think you're going to get people to buy this if every single one of them comes with a speaker dock. I think people are just going to want a Google tablet, period. There is no good Google tablet right now.
Does anyone want a Google tablet?
I think some people do.
You know, I was so excited like 5 minutes ago. I think we should end this right now because I want to end this on a high note.
I think... Wait, let me watch the rest of this 30-second clip.
One eternity later.
The way they're talking about it is very product talk for these will be separate. And we will offer this dock separately for a price.
Okay, look at this. With the Pixel tablet, we're taking everything we learned from years of making Pixel and products for the home and combining it into one great device.
Yeah, the tablet.
No,
tablet
Pixel
and
products.
And the home.
And combining it.
I think they ship together.
I don't think either way, but I hope immensely.
Yeah,
I want to be wrong, but everything I'm hearing right now is they will be separate. We'll keep an eye on that. It's 2023 at some point. We don't know when.
Yeah, it's a while away.
Yeah, interesting. Well, that's the tablet.
Although it does say pairing it with the new charging speaker dock.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, anyway, we're never going to come to a consensus.
Also, think of this future. You have one tablet and three different speaker docks around your house, and you just walk around and just pop it on when you go into the bedroom, you just pop it in there.
Yeah, but then there's also just like ugly speaker docks sitting around that don't have anything.
Which just exposed pins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've now turned this into the most polarizing Google product of
this. This is either the greatest tablet of all time or the worst tablet of all time. No in between.
When they first showed off the Pixel tablet, I was like, I could not be more disinterested in this. And now I'm like, this is the greatest Google product that's ever been.
It's the most I've cheered at an event for like the last 3 years.
All right. Yeah. Well, this is what we're optimistic. We're camp optimistic. Let's just camp out there.
I'm game.
All right. Well, that's it. That's a whole bunch of Google for 1 week. We'll definitely have some videos on the way for you. You probably will see at least one of them by the time this video goes up. So thanks for listening to the pod. Thanks for watching. And Techtober is in full swing. How fast did we just cruise through Techtember? But now we're in Techtober. It's happening.
It's already long.
Wow.
Your elbow just cracked.
It sounded like I hit a baseball.
That was well done.
You said full swing and it cracked.
Oh, full swing. I get it.
Yeah.
Okay, I have to end it now.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, trivia.
Oh, yeah.
I don't get to end it until we answer the questions.
Gentlemen, start your whiteboards. Which of the following was not the name of a color of Google Pixel? Here's the list again. Sorta sunny. Clearly white. Not pink. Not really black.
I got my answer.
Bow. Are we ready?
Ready.
All right. Marquez, you seem confident. You want to flip yours around first?
Sorta sunny.
Sorta sunny. Sorta sunny.
Not duh.
Except for David.
Okay. Wow. Not really black.
Yeah, not really black is one I made up while we were recording the podcast.
What was sorta sunny?
Oh, wait,
sunny?
So I got it right.
Yeah, you got it right.
Yeah, you got it
duh.
Right.
That's why I said confident. Duh.
What was sort of, was that a pixel?
I think it was the yellow pixel.
Four. No, it is no, three.
It,
is
it
three.
Wasn't the four, yeah.
Not the three.
There was a yellow three?
It was a,
there was like a flesh colored three.
I thought it was called like sand. Was a sort of sunny.
Six Pro? Oh, guys. So recent.
Six guys.
So recent.
Pro.
Yeah, oh. The gold color? The gold color Pro.
That was sort of sunny? Oh, yeah. I didn't even, whoa. Uh-huh. Shows how much I paid attention to the yellow phone. All right. 0 points for that, for me. David gets one. Well played.
I'm going to catch up with you guys, and I'm not even on the same episodes.
Okay. All right. Question number two. What was Google, the search engine, originally going to be called?
This one is tough. Okay.
You asked for this.
I did.
David asked for this.
I did.
You could have had the Chrome bit question.
And it would have been right. Wait, so, wait.
Wait, don't. Audio listeners are loving this.
It's like that TikTok sound.
All right. Andrew, you still thinking? Or?
No, I'm ready.
Oh, sweet. All right, cool. So.
What is...
David's still thinking. Marquez is... looking it up on his computer.
Oh, no, I'm pulling up a TikTok.
Okay. I don't believe you.
All right, I'm ready.
Ready?
Flip them boards.
Google. Google, but spelled correctly.
What is Marquez's board
say? PageRank.
I didn't know it.
Across the board.
Their algorithm is called the PageRank algorithm.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
I didn't know it, so I went with trick question, and that was Google to start with. So.
Interesting idea.
I thought it
is something I would do, but unfortunately, the original name of the search engine was called Backrub.
Oh, yeah. That's weird.
I'm so glad they went with Google.
It was a reference to how Google could comb the internet's backlinks, the hidden links to other websites inside. Websites.
So like, they named it Backrub,
though. What?
I don't know.
That guy got fired.
Yeah, nice one, Sergey.
They should just called it Backcrawl, you know,
or Backcomb.
Backcomb.
Whatever.
All of those are terrible.
They're all terrible.
Or search engine.
Yeah.
That's what I would have called.
Thank you, Google, for being Google.
Appreciate that name.
Yeah. Picture if a bunch of us were walking around with Backrub pixels in our pockets.
Also, I just Googled Backrub, and it just brought up a bunch of masseuse parlors.
Yeah.
So. I mean, yeah.
It didn't occur to me. I don't know. I don't know what I was expecting.
Well, I think we all learned something new. I think it's usually at least once a week we learn something new from trivia. So I think mission accomplished. Anyway, I think we can end it now. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. See you later.
Waveform is produced by Adam Molina and Ellis Roven. Seriously, big shout out to them this week. It is currently 5 o'clock on Thursday as we're wrapping this up, and they are going to edit this whole thing by tomorrow, which is insane.
They're not leaving till it's done.
Yeah, boy!
So just big round of applause for them. We are also partnered with Vox Media Podcast Network, and our intro outro music was created by Vane Sill.
Damn, you got that down.
Support for this podcast comes from Planned Parenthood. It's hard to imagine a world where we leave future generations with fewer rights and freedoms. Since the Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade, politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills aimed at blocking people from getting the essential sexual and reproductive care they need, including abortion. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves access to care. And with supporters like you, they can reclaim our rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future to learn more and support their cause.